Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What happened nearly 5 years ago at a learning academy in Decatur, Georgia, could have ended in mass tragedy. It didn't, because of school bookkeeper Antoinette Tough. Grammy-winning singer-actress Toni Braxton plays Tough in Face Under Fire, Lifetime's latest original movie running tomorrow night. Executive producers Judith Bruno and Derek Williams join me next. The boomer generation, as in more than 100 million U.S. citizens aged 50 or beyond, now have a weekend news magazine program in sight, 50 Plus Prime. You can see it tomorrow morning on Pop and hear host and managing editor Tony Fama next half hour. Also ahead, a Sports Center breakup, our new classic trivia winner, and a tribute to a TV forecaster Hall of Famer, John Coleman. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a pre-book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Happy Friday afternoon to you and all. Welcome once again to the program about television. 35 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. And we have a great hour in store for you. Super guests coming your way from New York, L.A., and in between in San Antonio, Texas. And all along, we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, raise your voice, use this number. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Another way you get involved is our chat room. It's open for business. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the poem is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Should the executive producer of Face Under Fire join us from New York and L.A. after these news notes. Sports Center 6 p.m. co-anchor Jemele Hill will end her year-long tenure there a week from tonight. Hill and co-anchor Michael Smith launched Sports Center's current early evening format, SC6, last February, after 4 years co-hosting Numbers Never Lie, later renamed His and Hers on ESPN2. Hill was reprimanded and later suspended last year for controversial tweets on President Trump and the National Football League's problems with player behavior during the national anthem. Hill will move forward to other ESPN assignments, including town hall moderator duty, a website column, and possibly her own podcast. For now, Smith will stay on SD6 as sole anchor. This just in, Glenview Vance and Mary Louise Parker will co-star in Compliance, a half-hour comedy pilot in Mark 4 FX. The proposed series takes place in the world of private equity offerings. And a quick up note on MVP, Most Valuable Performer. CBS's live special last night showcased on Monday's episode. The program came in second place among broadcast networks in its 8 p.m. time period. If you missed our episode Monday with Robert Horowitz, the executive producer, you can go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. Also on iTunes and Apple TV's iTunes Podcast app. And that is news notes for today. It's very easy to put together a film about a mass tragedy along the lines of Columbine or Sandy Hook or others involving schools and students. It may not be so easy to showcase an almost tragedy, like what happened nearly 5 years ago in Decatur, Georgia, when someone who was mentally deranged came in with an AK-47 in a school in Decatur, Georgia, and almost killed hundreds of students. But thanks to the brave effort of a bookkeeper at that school named Antoinette Tough, it didn't happen. And that's the story you will find on Lifetime tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time called Face Under Fire with Grammy Award-winning singer and actress Toni Braxton playing Tough. Joining us now live from both New York and Los Angeles is executive producers Judith Bruno in New York and Derek Williams in Los Angeles. Judith, welcome back, and Derek, welcome in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. It's a pleasure. And Judith, we'll start with you. How tough was it to, A, make this film, and, B, make sure somebody was able to put it together and buy it?
Well, I'll start just by saying I think it's always hard to make a film. You know, it's a tough business. This one was unique in that when Derek and I were partnered, we did have to struggle to put it together, to give it enough marketing juice behind it that people would be interested in pursuing it. It happened in 2013, and it's just coming to the public now. So we sold it quickly to Lifetime, but the development process was very lengthy.
Derek, how did you and Judith and the other executive producers, including TV Jakes, how did you get word about what happened here?
How did we get, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
How did you find out about Antoinette Tubb and what she experienced in Decatur, Georgia 5 years ago?
Oh, well, I mean, it was all over the news, so it was very easy to find out about what was going on. But Antoinette Tubb, right after that experience, moved to Dallas, Texas, and became a member of Bishop Jakes' church, the Potter's House. And her publisher, she then started writing a book. Her literary agent was also our literary agent. And so once the book was developed and finished, we got a copy of it, and it was like, it was a no-brainer at that point. This was the type of story that we felt needed to be told, because there are so many times where you get a story and you get something like this that happened that doesn't happen, doesn't end with a happy ending. But here was a story that everyone in school was able to get out unharmed. So hopefully that answers your question.
And just what we were talking before is that this is a unique situation, because when we, for the most part, hear about tragedies like this taking place in schools, we think of Columbine, we think of Sandy Hook, we think of all those children or teachers that were killed. We often don't hear around the country to that degree about a story like this. What do you hope that viewers get
out of
watching this? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I hope, I mean, it's quite shocking. There have been over 250 school shootings since Derek and I became involved in this project. There's also issues of mental health, what happened to this boy. I hope there's a couple of things that we really hope people take away. The first is obviously the heroism of Antoinette Tubb, her ability to use her teachings and what she's learned in church, and as, you know, just a human being with feelings, to reach out and try to connect with this boy to save over 800 students. The second is obviously, as Toni Braxton has been saying, as she's, you know, been doing press, of course it's to entertain, but also there are lessons here about gun control, and there's also a message in here about mental health. Michael Hill did not kill anyone. Antoinette Tubb talked him out of it, and he was still sentenced to 20 years in a prison. He's not in a mental health facility. There are people who have killed, you know, a lot more people than this boy did. You know, he killed no one, and who received less sentences. So there's a lot to sort of take away. In the end, we hope it's a good story. We hope it's a story that makes you laugh, makes you cry, but also makes you think a little bit about where we are.
Yeah. Derek, over the last couple of days, I have talked directly with the writers and producers of Waco, the Paramount Network series that started on Wednesday night, dealing with David Koresh and the Branch Davidians and how that all came out. And then yesterday I was on a conference call with TV1 about their upcoming movie by Rosa Parks, Behind the Movement. And in both cases, there was a big emphasis on, we want to showcase how more complex the situation is than what the public thinks. Whether it is the kind of person Rosa Parks was before and after that incident where she was forced to give up her seat on the bus, which, by the way, they used the actual bus in that movie coming up next month, which is really a shocker. And the case of Waco, to say, you know, David Koresh wasn't all this, and the Branch Davidians wasn't all this, and the FBI wasn't all this. Was there something about Tubb's character or her experience in life and how she handled this that you wanted to, and Derek, I'll ask you this, that you felt it was very important to bring out that the public doesn't know beforehand?
Well, I don't know if the public knew that she was actually dealing with a bit of depression herself. you know, she had had a huge breakup with her marriage, and she was on the verge of committing. She tried to commit suicide a couple of times herself, and we think that it was from her experience and her telling us that it was out of that pain and out of her personal experience that she was able to really connect with this gentleman, because she had been there and done that. And so I'm not sure if that's something that the general public would know, but that is something that was very significant and really important to me, because, you know, I think that is what allowed her to be the perfect person to have this conversation with this gentleman, to ultimately talk him out of killing everyone in the school, because she really understood him on a personal level, and that the love that she showed him in that moment was all he really needed. And this is an African American woman reaching out and showing love to a Caucasian young boy, and how even though they grew up differently, love conquered all, and it was out of that love that she was able to save these kids and ultimately save this boy and this young man. And because he has a mother and he has a family, and it just became a really good situation all the way around. And so that's something that I don't think everyone would know that was really was very special about the project for me.
Faith Under Fire is what we're talking about. It's Lifetime's latest original movie, The Antoinette Tough Story, with Toni Braxton playing the title character. It's on tomorrow night at 8:10 Eastern Pacific Time on Lifetime. And we've got two of the key executive producers behind it, Judith Verno from New York, who's done this film before, and Derek Williams live from Los Angeles. They're with us this half hour right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Glad you're with us this Friday afternoon. If you want to have a question or comment, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have our first three-episode week of the year coming your way next week. We're on Monday, Wednesday, Friday at this hour, and we got a big 90-minute show for you coming your way on Monday. First up, Holly Sorensen. She is the creator, the executive producer, and the showrunner of Step Up High Water. It's the brand-new series from YouTube brand Lionsgate based on the Step Up film, and there'll be a screening of Step Up, that particular first episode, on Tuesday night all over the country, thanks to Fathom Events. But Holly will be with us on Monday as our lead guest. Then Vimeo is a brand new series involving none other than Mr. Hamilton himself, Luis Manuel Miranda. It's called Bartlett. And we've got the co-star and creator, Christy Mazzeo, and we have producer, Rivka Beth-Meadow. And finally, WGN America now is a crime-oriented service, and their first major original show in that vein is called Bellevue. It premiered last week. We've got the executive producer and director, Adrian Mitchell, and co-star Sean Doyle. They'll all be with us Monday. 90-minute show for you, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Judith, how soon did Toni Braxton get into the project?
Well, I think as soon as Toni read the script, she felt a huge connection to the story and wanted to play this woman. She was very impressed by it. She remembered the story. We did a lot of work before Toni was exposed to the story, but once she saw the script, she was very excited to be involved.
And something else there that makes this film...
I also thought she connected with it because she was from Atlanta, and it was a story right out of her hometown. So I think that made a big difference as well.
Absolutely.
Did you film this in Decatur, near the area, or in the school itself?
We didn't.
I don't know if...
Go ahead. I was just going to say, we considered... shooting it in Atlanta, but actually the town is so busy that we just didn't feel there was enough crew to get us through it, and so we went to Pittsburgh, where Sony was set up on another series that gave us access to really high-quality crew and all ready to go and fit in a schedule, because Toni has a pretty serious. You know, her window isn't always that big. She's touring. She was recording. So it was important for us to find a terrific team that could work on her schedule.
Mm-hmm. One of the most unique things, Derek, about this movie is that it also deals with Tuff's son, who actually is diagnosed with a particular disease. I believe it's called Charcot-Marie-Tooth syndrome. And in the film, the person that plays her son has spina bifida, and his name is Shalabi Omar. Tell me about him and how you were able to cast him in that role.
Well, Judith, I think you played an intricate role in that with our casting directors. You might be better to answer that question than I.
Sure, but Go ahead, Derek.
Huh? I will say that I was really excited about it. I thought it was incredible that our casting director was able to find someone who could actually play the role and really live in that moment from a personal experience, because it just made it very organic. And I thought it just was incredible that we were able to find someone more involved in that process than I. So maybe you can add a little bit more to that.
You're 100% right, Derek. I mean, a lot of our credit goes to our terrific casting director, Susan Edelman, who came to us as soon as she read the script with her ideas on all the roles. And I think she really was the first person to impress upon everyone how important it would be to have the actor who played the role of Derek have some sort of, you know, a disability. And she did a nationwide casting search. There's all kinds of talent agencies that specialize in this, and Susan is really an expert in all areas of casting. Sony, of course, embraced the idea, and we watched with our director, Vonji Curtis Hall, a lot of auditions, just the way we would on any role, and were so impressed. I honestly, when the executive at Sony watched her, her only regret was that she couldn't cast more people, you know, who people are trying so hard. It was a wonderful opportunity, and he did a terrific job. Mm-hmm. So it was great for everyone all around.
Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, Cicely Tyson, in an interview with Turner Classic Movies, talked about the big scene in Sounder, which I think is one of the best films I think she ever did, and I wish she had gotten that Academy Award for Best Actress, the scene where she runs to meet Paul Warfield. And the fact that it was so important that she did on that first take, which, in fact, did happen. Although Marty Ripp, the director, told her afterward, at an incredible scene, we may have to do this again, because John Alonzo, the cameraman, was crying as the scene was going on. Was there a scene in this film that gives you thought, boy, I really hope we get this on the first take, because I don't know if we can get Tony, or we can get the person who plays Michael Trevor Morgan to do it again?
Wow, that's a good question. For me, you know, whenever you're doing those emotional parts, when Tony is talking about her story and sharing her background, and the part where she actually talks about her suicide, and it's very emotional, which I think she nails. You always, as a producer, you want to make sure that you get that on the first take, even though you have incredible actors and actresses that are able to do that as many times as they need to. It still takes a lot out of an actor, an actress, to do that. So if you're able to get it in the first take, and I think in the moment when she starts to share with him and they connect on a human level, and the emotion that she was able to draw from and to be able to get on camera, you want to catch that in that very moment, and you'll see what I'm talking about when you see the film tomorrow night. She did an incredible job. There was just emotions all over the place. It's very hard sometimes when you have an ensemble cast and you have a lot of places that you can you know, you can shoot and you can talk to, but a lot of the meat that happened in this particular film was between the two actors in that room. And so it took a lot of discipline and a lot of skill to be able to capture or keep an audience engaged for that length of time. And I think she did an amazing job with that. And so for me, that's how I would answer that, Judith. I don't know if you had anything to add to that.
No, I think you're right. I think, you know, part of the strength of this story is the authenticity of those moments as we're peeling back the layers and we're learning that there's more that unites us than divides us. So having that not feel over-rehearsed or over-produced is important, and probably on a more superficial level, the moment when she first realizes she's in jeopardy. You know, we when she looks up and she's first threatened by this unknown entity, also has to feel very real, just to catapult us into the story with the same sort of fear that Antoinette would have felt.
You're hearing Judith Verno and Derek Williams, two of the executive producers of Face Under Fire. The Antoinette Tough Story premieres tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Lifetime. The film is, by the way, directed by Emmy nominee Bonnie Curtis Hall, the script by Laura Harrington and Stephen Kay. Judith and Derek are with us live from New York and L.A., respectively, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Appleton with you from New York. Thank you for joining us on this Friday afternoon. Glad to have you here. Be in the conversation, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up with our special episode Wednesday of next week, we'll lead it off with Court of Change's Christy Henderson. She heads the Hollywood Project. What is that group out to do to expand diversity on television? Christy goes with us live as our lead guest. That's next Wednesday, special edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio, and also carried on the iHeartRadio podcast network. Judith, how much was Antoinette Tough involved in the production, and what did you and Derek learn from her, if anything?
Well, there's a lot to learn from Antoinette. Antoinette is a force of nature. She is a remarkable woman. And I think any person who meets her is incredibly touched by her honesty, her spirit, her dedication to her mentorship, and her firm belief in paying it forward. We were incredibly lucky that she had a relationship, as Derek said, with T.D. Jakes and that organization. Of course, as producers, Derek and I, you know, anytime we do a true story, it's very important for us to have a very positive partnership with the person whose life we are responsible for dramatizing. So she was involved with the script. We optioned her book. She came to set. She worked with Tony. She's out there talking about the movie now. So she has been step in step with us, which is, you know, paramount to our being able to do these stories. But in terms of what we learn, it's really, you know, she's a person who looks at what happened to her. She came out the other side, and her goal is really to give back now. She went back to that community, is doing all kinds of programs with young children, and teaching, you know, really making sure that kids have an opportunity to be educated and have a better life in that community. She's an amazing woman.
Derek, are you and Julia coming up on another project soon, or if not, what's next for you?
You know, we have been have worked really well together. And that's not always the case. Sometimes you have producing partners and you clash, but I think in this case, it worked extremely well, and we are in the process of trying to find some other projects to work together on, like in the immediate future. I'm not at liberty to say right now what they are because we're still in development, but we would love to come back and share that with you once we are able to get these deals inked. But I think you would really enjoy the subject matter that we have in front of us. So, yes. Yeah. Judith is a jewel to work with.
Back at you, Derek.
You got it, both of you. And Judith, you know, we've had you on talking about both made-for-TV movies and series. You went about with Massive Sex, wonderful show for Showtime for several years, Emmy Award nominated. What do you like best, made-for-movies or series?
Oh, you know, look, when you live the life of a producer, you are always happy to be working. The movies, which are now sort of mini-series and limited series, it's all going through an evolution. You have maybe a little more autonomy. You know, series is extraordinarily collaborative. There's a lot of people checking in all the time. So it's, you know, it's great to be working. I think some of the fun of making the movies is that we have a little more independence and a little more control. It's less of a, you know, democracy in some ways. There, you know, anytime you're working in the business that you love and have a passion for, you consider yourself blessed and, you know, very lucky.
For those of you that think,
one of these days we'll do the Judith Verner. I said one of these days we're going to do the Judith Verner story, which is hilarious because she's quite the comedian. Most people don't know. She's very polished and she's really good in these interviews, but she's a hilarious person. She makes me laugh often.
Oh, thank you, Derek. You're a big kidder, too. Derek, you never exactly know when you ask a question if he's totally making something up just to get a reaction from you or it's true. So we have a lot of fun, and you have to have fun sometimes when you're doing these stories that are so tense.
Yeah.
Well, this is certainly
true.
A tense story.
I'm sorry
and
I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. We need the light. But I just wanted to say that for people who think that anytime you hear about a school situation involving guns or violence that ends in tragedy, it's not always. And this film is definitely a living testament for that. The film is Face Under Fire. It's the new Lifetime original movie starring Toni Braxton as Antoinette Tuck, real life story, and it takes place tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Check your local for where Lifetime is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, go to www.mylifetime.com. That's www.mylifetime.com. Face Under Fire, the Antoinette Tuck story, tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific on Lifetime. Judith Verner, Derek Williams, thank you both very, very much for coming on. Good luck with the film tomorrow night. Best to Tony, the cast, the crew, and, of course, Antoinette Tuck. And I hope that everyone who watches this show really gets tremendous value and realizes that, yes, individual people can make a difference, even in the most extreme circumstances.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Judith and Derek. Take care. Enjoy.
Thank you. Thanks for everything.
Bye now.
Bye.
You're welcome. Judith Verner, Derek Williams, joining us live from New York and L.A. respectively on Tomorrow We Televise. Back with our Clapper Trivia Question of the Week and our first winner in 2 weeks after some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. It was a year ago that Hidden Figures was nominated for a bunch of Academy Awards, and if you've never read the book from which that wonderful film was made from, you can get it on audio form through Audible.com, through a trial subscription. And all you got to do is go to this website, www.audibletrial.com/televised. Audible from Amazon.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. Over 100,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now with Blog Talk Radio. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audio book, Hidden Figures, or one of your choice, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service because of Audible's relationship with Amazon.com. So hear for yourself why listening is the new reading at Audible.com and why audiobooks can transform the way you hear the world. So that's free trial offer, audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And for the second time in 2 weeks, we've got a winner. And that winner is Robert Flood of Allen, Texas. He got the question right. And here it is. The question we posed at the start of the week, what two jobs did Bob Newhart's character have on Newhart, the CBS series from 1982 to 1990? The answer, innkeeper and TV host or TV talk show host. Would have accepted either one. Bob left out the answer, and because he did, in the time allowed, he's going to win and make it reality. Credit Your Opportunity, Own Your Success. Great book from Chris Abrego, executive and executive producer with a forward by Pitbull. Congratulations, Bob, out in Allen, Texas. Happy you won. We will get that book out to you early next week, and hopefully we'll get it by this time next week or the following weekend. And thank you for playing. And all you got to do to play is join us on Monday's episode. We'll post a new classic trivia question of the week. All you got to do, email me with the answer, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you missed the question on Monday, don't worry. We'll post it on Tuesday on Facebook and on my Twitter handle at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. If we don't get a winner by Wednesday, we will have it again on Wednesday's special episode. But remember, in order to win, be in. Hear the question, get the answer. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. When we come back, we're going to ride to San Antonio and to meet someone who is very involved with the boomer generation with his own news magazine called 50 Plus Prime. Tony Fadler joins us, plus a tribute to John Coleman. All that after you call us after the bottom of the hour for my notification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com for the 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for CUTV News Radio. Check it out Thursdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, we're carried on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. All you got to do is check us out anytime. Go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click it, and you're in. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Friday afternoon. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York on this January day of 2018. If you have a question or comment for our next guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. And our chat room's business, if you want to use it that way, all you got to do is go to SimonApple04. That's our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. That's televised, and put your thoughts in. You know, 100 million of us in these United States are boomers, classified as between the ages of 50 and beyond. And believe it or not, it is the most, well, you might say, not just literate, but the most, well, versatile, you might say, group around. Purchasing power, big, big, big time, multi-billions or trillions, if you will. And now, there is a news magazine on the weekends available nationally in one place where you can find out what boomers are up to, famous and not so. It's called 50 Plus Prime. It started last week on Pop TV. It's on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific time. Joining us live from San Antonio, Texas, the host and executive producer of 50 Plus Prime, Tony Fama. Tony, thanks for being here.
Simon, how are you, man? Thank you for this opportunity. To a fellow New York boy, it's very exciting to talk to you.
Same here. You Bronx, me Brooklyn.
I know. We just got that little body of water between us, man, but we're friends.
Yeah, and love San Antonio. I've been there a number of times over the course of covering television. Great place. Love the Spurs. My favorite basketball team. My favorite pro team. What Greg Popovich and that group has done is just miraculous. It's one of the great sports stories around. How long have you thought about doing a Boomer News Mag? Yeah, how long did you think about doing a Boomer News Mag?
I was going to say something about Pop because he is beloved down here. The Spurs, of course, are really the only professional sport in town. You know, as people who grew up in New York, I mean, you've got two hockey teams, you've got two football teams, you've got two baseball teams. So the Spurs really are the professional sport here. I mean, you've got Houston, you know, 3 hours east down the road, and you've got, of course, the champions of the World Series, the Astros there. You've got the Dallas Cowboys, you know, 5 hours east. In about 5 hours, the way I drive, about 6 hours east, northeast, because I drive like an old man. Although, as a boomer, I got to tell you, Simon, and you might be able to relate to this, I'm a bit of an anomaly because although I'm supposed to be a boomer age, I'm still 35.
Well, you're in a great place to grow because that team. It's really amazing, no matter who they have, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, et cetera, et cetera. It just seems that Greg Popovich and that whole group down there just know how to bring people in and play team basketball in an environment that really appreciates, you know, playing the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Yeah, absolutely. It's old-fashioned. You're right. Everybody plays a role. And although the Dallas Cowboys, you know, for years were the big sports story in Texas –
my God, the San Antonio Spurs certainly now with the Astros after winning the World Series are the story. And it's fun. You know, we go down to some Spurs games on occasion, and it's fun. It really is fun just to watch them pass. No one is a ball hog, and if somebody opts to be momentarily, well, Pop puts them in their place.
So, Tony, how did you come up with the idea of 50 Plus Prime?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I mean, I am a former reporter. I was an investigative reporter with NBC Television in Detroit. Years ago, I was an anchor and a reporter in San Antonio with the ABC station here. And you know how the business goes, Simon. You kind of travel around the country, you gain your experience, and you move on to bigger markets. Well, when I got to Detroit, I loved it. I was there. God, I lived there for almost 20 years, but I was on the air there for about four. And it's funny. I couldn't wait to get there. And then about halfway into my contractual term, I just got burnt out. I got burnt out on covering crime. It's a big urban area. And, well, as we know, you don't have to be in an urban area, unfortunately, in our society now to be victimized by crime. But I wanted, and this may sound corny, but I wanted to do something that would have a positive impact on people that might make a difference and maybe on a good day be somewhat inspiring. As an Italian kid from the Bronx, I mean, I had a stereotypic Italian upbringing, meaning I was always with my elders, my grandmother, my great aunts. And I think because of that, I just naturally developed a bit of an affinity for older Americans. So fast forward, what, 30, 40 years, and we have this huge demographic now, as you said at the beginning of the program. I mean, there are 100 million Americans who are 50 plus. About three quarters of them are baby boomers, and we control 75% of the nation's wealth. I mean, we think we're going to live forever. We're hip, we're connected, and we are interested in so many different things. And one of those things is philanthropy. I think because of the way in which we were born and the historical moments that shaped our development, the civil rights movement, for example, the women's rights movement, trying to make the world a better place, the peace protests that we had that accompanied and paralleled Vietnam. I think there, well, I know there are millions in our generation that took the lessons to heart, marching on Washington with Martin Luther King Jr., for example, being a part of those rallies for equality. And so many, as we've aged and we became successful financially, we realized that, hey, we can now do a little something or a lot of something that we're passionate about to affect change, to make a difference. So there are millions of boomers around the country giving back. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be great to do a positive program finding baby boomers around the United States that are giving back, making a difference, and then also touching on boomer lifestyles and hobbies? I mean, again, we're a vibrant group. And the other piece here is, why not interview from time to time the men and women who've influenced the baby boomer generation? We just did a great half-hour special with Carl Reiner, and it led to a second half-hour with both Carl Reiner and his son Rob Reiner, and the love affair and respect that they share. I mean, these are two boomer icons. I mean, you know, Carl Reiner developed and created the Dick Van Dyke Show, and you know, Rob Reiner is Meathead on All in the Family. We boomers will never forget that role. I mean, he was incredible. So I wanted with the program to produce something positive, something that would be fun, uplifting, and on a good day, inspiring. You know, recently we were in Los Angeles, and I interviewed this wonderful man named Chris Madsen. I mean, I think this story, Simon, really captures the tenor of our broadcast. This is a boomer, and he met a little boy with cerebral palsy. The little boy fell into a coma. Chris is credited with saving his life, speaking with him while this little boy was in a coma, and actually helping this child come out of his coma. I mean, this is true. It's miraculous. And has gone on now for 30 years to mentor this young man. So those are the kind of stories that that we look for. And you know what? There are millions around the United States. When I was a reporter, and I'd hear so often from viewers, my God, you know, the media can be so negative, news is so negative. Well, it's a question sometimes of what we choose to cover. There are incredible stories across the United States of men and women of all ages doing remarkable things, and we try to capture that spirit each week on 50 Plus Prime.
And that program is running now on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Pop TV. And we've got the person who makes it happen. He's host and managing editor Tony Fadma joining us live from San Antonio, Texas this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. So I'm an Appleman with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Tony, don't be shy. Raise the voice, pick up that phone, and go for 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, we're coming your way with our first 3-episode week of the year next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, our lead guest, Holly Sorensen. She's the creator, executive producer, and showrunner of Step Up High Water. That's the long-awaited YouTube Red series based on the popular Step Up films. And she'll be my lead guest next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tony, how did the show get to Pop TV? It was my understanding that before then, the show was syndicated, correct?
Yes. Yeah, and it still is. I mean, we air now in about, well, let's say just under 80 cities around the country. I mean, for example, we air on WABC. 2017 was our first season on WABC, and the station's been great and supportive of us. They aired 17 of our episodes, and we anticipate probably about the same amount of our episodes airing on WABC again this year. But around the country, you will find us in Green Bay. We're on NBC on Saturday nights. We're on in San Antonio Sunday mornings on NBC. There are a variety of cities. About 30% of, I would say, about 30% of U.S. television households are represented by the 79 markets that we're in. But what Pop TV has allowed us to do is truly to become a national broadcast. I mean, Pop TV, which you, I'm sure you know, buddy, because you are an entertainment guru, is a joint partnership between CBS and Lionsgate. They've just begun their fourth year. They're investing heavily in developing, this year, 400 hours of original programming they're introducing. 50 Plus Prime now is on their air as their first TV news magazine. We've got a great spot. The median age for the pop viewer right now is about 55. So, you know, it's just a perfect vehicle for us. And we were fortunate. You know, I happened to know someone at the network, reached out to him. We spoke, and we were able to work out an arrangement. And as you said, we've only been on now, what, a couple of weeks? And tomorrow will be our third week, and we hope that it's the beginning of something really special and fun.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes a lot of people think that baby boomers are pretty much stayed or fixed in their ways, and
yes.
And that's why, for example, there's been some issues with some cable networks who want to reach out to the boomers about advertising or getting ad sales.
Yes,
but
boy,
that is not
true.
I know that some networks in the past, like TV Land, for example, which I went to an event a long time ago, were like saying, hey, that is not the case. You know, these
that's
boomers,
right.
They're versatile, they are hip, they know what's going on. They're the folks that
right.
lead the way among any demographic group you want to name in terms of buying computers, buying smartphones,
right.
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. That's right.
Are you getting that kind of
absolutely.
Feedback from viewers? And that, thank you so much for showing us the way we really are, or showing role models that are really special.
Well, that is it's a kind question to ask, because you know the answer. The viewers that we come in touch with, and you know, in this social media climate, in this era historically, I mean whether it's Twitter or Facebook or email or texting, we get some wonderful feedback from our viewers with that sentiment. You know, it's nice to see something positive on our generation. There are so many positive stories. We don't tend to see many on news, television stations regularly. And I, you know, I'm real tepid with my remarks because I worked as a general assignment reporter, and there's certainly a place for the daily news coverage. But there are reporters that are better suited for that now than me. So I found this niche. I'm grateful. The feedback has been wonderful. Now, to your point about advertisers, you know, it still can be difficult to interest an advertiser in this demographic. I mean, you know the demos. The sacred demo is 25 to 54 or 18 to 49, and that's the area that advertisers focus millions of dollars in ad revenue on. Slowly, there are some agencies that are beginning to appeal specifically to the boomer generation, to businesses that want to cater directly to boomers. One of the things I'll tell you, and this is, believe me, this is not to be negative, but just to show you that sometimes the climate that we deal with in the media agency world. We had a conversation, oh God, when was it, last week? And we were talking to this media rep about their client and how much we thought that their client would be a perfect fit for our program. And I said, you know, hey, I was in Los Angeles, and I interviewed Carl Reiner, and I interviewed Rob Reiner, and I interviewed Loretta Swit, and these are big, you know, names in the boomer universe. And she said, well, she said, you know, I've heard of Carl Reiner. And that really kind of sums up what we're up against at times, because we're dealing very often at the agency level with young men and women who are, they're wonderful. I mean, we were all right that age once just getting into the business, but it can be very difficult to, how can I articulate this? It can be very difficult to sum up, to synopsize the messaging or the cultural interests of a 50-pluser to someone who is half that age. So slowly but surely, we're finding the right corporate clients going directly to the clients. We've been blessed to find one fabulous agency up in Boston that got it. Their media director got it. And Cologuard now is one of our sponsors. Consumer Cellular is one of our sponsors nationally. We're really excited about those accounts because, you know, as you know, Simon, without the advertisers, it just doesn't work. And the other thing I'll tell you is, again, to your point, remember, it's the baby boomer parent that's buying the car very often for their 25-year-old. Or it's the baby boomer parent that is paying for the vacation for their kids. You know, it's not the 22-year-old or 23-year-old that is out there making that investment, generally speaking. And I think slowly but surely, advertisers are getting it. Certainly, I hope they get it.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Tony, before we wrap this up, is we now have an environment in television of smart TV sets, of smart TV devices like Roku and Amazon Fire and so forth. And 60% of all U.S. households have them. And I would have to think more than a fair number of boomers. And now we're seeing these sets and these devices equipped with artificial intelligence, Alexa, Google Assistant, Siri, et cetera, where you can talk back to the set and do everything from order a product or a service like Airbnb or even perhaps change the direction of a television show if that show has that opportunity. Any feedback you have about boomer reaction to this new TV environment?
You know, this is another area in which many in society thought older Americans, boomers, would not adjust. When you look at Facebook, for example, and you see the increase of Facebook users who are 50, it's incredible. It really is. Boomers do have iPhones. They do. They do buy Samsung Galaxies. They do these things. They're buying Teslas. I mean, it's not like you know, we're 95 years old and just content to sit at home. I just interviewed Carl Reiner, who's going to be 96, and he's not sitting at home. I mean, he's writing regularly. He's out every day exercising, you know. So excuse me, in our society, we're living longer. Medical science and better nutrition and access to appropriate exercise tips and nutritional habits, all of that combined helping us live a lot longer and healthier. And, you know, there's this one commercial spot, I don't know if you've seen it, T-Mobile, their chief executive officer, John Ledger, has the spot on Twitter about how he's so tired of some companies talking down to the boomer audience. And, you know, hey, they need phones. They talk on phones. They can text. They might need an email. It's not that outlandish to think that just because you're 50 plus, you can't integrate and upgrade your life and, you know, stay in line with technology as it moves forward.
Absolutely. And by the way, earlier this week, T-Mobile completed its deal with Layer 3 TV, and John is already starting to talk about perhaps upending the TV industry. We'll wait and see how he's going to do that, but it looks very interesting. And incidentally, you know, you interviewed Carl Reiner. I had Bill Persky, who was late partner Sam Dedoff, were one of the key writers in the Dick Van Dyke Show. Then he went on to do That Girl and so on. And we had him on. We did this wonderful book called My Life in Situation Comedy. He was so good, we had him on again for a second episode, and we couldn't, even that, like 45 minutes to an hour, could not do it. And then, of course, you have Norman Lear. And look at Norman Lear, 94. He's got One Day at a Time back on the air. He's working on a new pilot now for NBC, which he told us about back in November of 2016. Just amazing. But before we go, I was originally going to do this on my own, but I want to bring you into this. And that is John Coleman. If you could have a Hall of Fame of TV weathercasters like you do for any sport, you got to put Dr. Frank Field in, but you also put John Coleman in as like surefire first nominee because of what he did with Good Morning America first and then, of course, the creation of the Weather Channel. Here's somebody who has been forecasting for over 60 years. He was GMA's first weathercaster. Where Frank Field was very stoic, was very, you know, no nonsense. Here, Coleman was passionate, used comedy graphics for the first time, fun, made it personable. He also was no nonsense when it came to weather info, but he just was so enthusiastic about the weather, and then he brought that to the Weather Channel, and goodness knows, over the years of that network, even though he was only with it for a year as president and chief executive, how many countless lives that channel has saved, ended, because of people being prepared for hurricanes and other natural disasters.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, he was born in Alpine, Texas. He is a Texas, he was a Texas boy made very good, obviously, sure. I worked for a news director in San Antonio in the early 90s, Jim Boyle, a wonderful man, was just a terrific mentor. And his focus was on weather. If there was a weather issue, he would summon the newsroom, and all of us would be covering the weather. I mean, and to do a half hour on the weather was something that he believed in. He believed people were most interested in that, and it truly affects your life, especially when the weather is treacherous. So you certainly see John Coleman's influence in the television media now, without question.
Yeah, you look at whether it was Doppler Radar or Chromakey Graphics or Unique Animation, he really pioneered it. And let's not forget also that for the last 20 years of his forecasting days, he had a wonderful gig at KUSI in San Diego. He's the ABC affiliate, and he was in boomer age. And you see tapes of him at that time from 94 to his retirement in 2014. He died, of course, over this past weekend at the age of 83. And he was as lively and as full of passion, full of pep as ever.
No question. And, you know, when you look back over his earlier work, you know, prior to Chroma Key, prior to all the fancy gadgets and graphics that we have in the media now, he was still fabulous, you know? I mean, in fact, we were talking about him. I called up a photo of him online, and you see that old kind of weather map that's probably circa 1960 behind him. And, you know, there's all text there written out by hand talking about how chilly it's going to be. And so he, think about all he saw how he worked from an era where, talk about being hands-on to produce an entertaining and informative weathercast, to the point where technology really helped make it much easier and I think a lot more comprehensive as well.
Yeah, for sure, Tony. And one final thing before we go. I had the wonderful honor going to the National Cable TV Convention in Chicago at McCormick Place to meet John the night before and have dinner with him at Palm Restaurant with all these wonderful caricatures on the walls. And you could tell with that Texas temper of his, he was so excited like a kid in a candy store about what the Weather Channel could be and what it could be for millions of people. And it's great to see that vision really came out before he passed on, that it really has become an amazing. And I think a lot of weathercasters on the local and the national level really owe a lot of gratitude to John Coleman for being the pioneer and the trailblazer.
I agree. I'm with you. I support your sentiment there. He was a great man. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And like I said, if there's a Hall of Fame for TV weathercasters, you have to put him and Dr. Frank Field as the two first nominees. No question.
Yes.
And no question about 50 plus front. Yep. Absolutely.
No question. And I was going to say, and Mr. G, remember our New York buddy, Mr. G, Herb Jakovsky?
Yes, Herb Jakovsky. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Simon, you're fantastic. Thanks for this opportunity.
You're very welcome. Before you go, let me tell you, everybody, again, it's 50 Plus Prime. The program is on tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Pop TV, as well as in syndication in more than 80 cities around the country, from WABC TV here in New York. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.50plusprime.com. That's www.50plusprime.com and www.poptv.com. And don't forget to check your local listings for where Pop TV is available in your area on cable and satellite. Tony Sava, thank you so much for joining us. We could go another hour with you. It's just a pleasure. And let's do it again soon. All the best getting your show on Pop TV. Have a wonderful year ahead. And keep on the Boomer Trail.
We will keep in touch with you. And next time in New York, we will take you down to Little Italy and we'll head to Lombardi's for the best pizza in the world. Is that a deal?
Oh, that is a deal. Get me out.
All right, buddy. Simon, you're
fabulous.
Take care.
Enjoy the weekend.
Be well. Take
You're
care.
Very, very
Thank
welcome.
You so much. All right. Bye-bye.
You got it. Be well. Tony Sava, joining us live from San Antonio, Texas, here on Tomorrow We Tell Us. Don't forget, we are back Monday, 90-day edition, with Holly Sorensen from Step Up High Water, Chris Museo and Rivka Bethmeto from Barla and Vimeo, and Adrian Mitchell and Sean Doyle from Bellevue on WGN America. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogsupgrade.com/televised. Check out the podcast on iHeartRadio.com, on iTunes, and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. And remember, if you want to check us out by communicating, do it. Simon Apple 04 at yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. Remember, we appreciate what you have to say because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Block Talk Radio and iHeart Radio. Tomorrow We Tell Lies is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. They're a proud development partner of the New York Television Festival. But Tomorrow We Tell Lies, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Whatever you're doing this weekend, please be safe and be great out there. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.